Well, good morning, CT fam. So glad you joined us here on this very first day of 2023. You know, it'll be 11 more years before we get to celebrate the very first day of the year on the Lord's Day on a Sunday. And so I'm really, really excited about this year, 2023. What a way to start the year in God's house, or watching online and just really worshiping Him and just starting it the right way. You know, Christmas season was fantastic. I know for many people, man, it was cold though. It was, sure was cold. And it was quite, I mean, we had record-breaking temperature there just prior to Christmas this past year in 2022. In fact, I came across this meme. I saw the inventor of the wind chill factor died recently. He was 82, but he felt like he was 64. Speaking of cold, you know it's cold outside when you go outside and it's cold. Now, I had to show this one just because of that last meme, but let that sink in for a minute. You know, I thought this meme was pretty cute. I was walking past the fridge last night, thought I heard two onions singing a Bee Gees song, but when I opened the door, it was just chives talking. Some of you have to be a certain age probably to catch that. I thought this was a really cute picture. This is a coconut choir, And then I had to share this one because I feel like I could really relate to it. This is me after watching 12 minutes of MasterChef. Well, let's pray before we get into the word today. Father, I thank you today for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for this incredible year that you've given to us, 2023, Lord, and we're starting it right here on the Lord's Day with you, worshiping you and learning from your word. We're starting it off the right way. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just give each one of us a fresh start as we move forward into 2023. Speak through this mouthpiece, challenge us, change us, help us to have that fresh start that we need to move forward in what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2023. You know, 2022 went by really fast, didn't it? You know, for some of us, maybe 2022 was a great year filled with, you know, blessing on top of blessing. For some of us, 2022 was maybe a mixed bag of blessings and maybe heartaches. And for some of us, well, we're really glad 2022 is over because it was our worst year ever. You know, no matter what scenario you fall into, we all need a reboot in our lives as we start this new year. We need to start fresh. We need a fresh start. And so today, we're beginning a new series of messages that I've entitled just that, A Fresh Start. Now, I've been looking forward to this series for a long time because it's about one of my favorite topics, and that's starting over. I'm serious. I love the fact that Jesus came to this earth so that we can have a fresh start. You know, I know that I need a fresh start in my own life more often than I care to admit. You know, in the game of golf, we call it a mulligan. You know, and I certainly take my share of mulligans when I'm out on the golf course. But a great thing about the gospel is that it gives us a mulligan. It gives us a chance to start again and again and again and again. And you know, this is a good thing because there are going to be times in your life when you're going to find yourself turning a new page. You know, beginning a new chapter in your story. Sometimes this happens for positive reasons, such as you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ and you're ready to start living for Him. Other times, it may have just been some seemingly negative experience that brought you into this new beginning, maybe a divorce or a loss of a job or a health crisis. You know, sometimes you arrive at this place simply because you've come to the realization that your life isn't working the way that you want it to. And it's time to start a new track. It's time to have a fresh start because, as it's been said, the definition of insanity is really continuing to do the same thing again and again and again, expecting different results. It doesn't work that way. And so we have to turn the page and start again. We oftentimes call it turning over a new leaf, but it really could actually be called, it's paving a way to a new life. Everybody finds himself in this position sometimes. We know where you say, you know what? It's time for a reboot. I need to clear the decks and I need to start all over again from the beginning. And so today, as we start this brand new year, I want you to know that this series will help you to make the most of each new day from this day forward. And as we apply these principles, I expect that 2023 will be the best year ever for us personally and for us as a church. Now, each of these messages in this series will be taken from a story or a teaching from one of the Gospels. So as we work our way through this series, we will be taking a closer look at who Jesus is and what he wants us to do and what it really means to follow him. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the most important aspects of starting over, starting again, getting a fresh start. This one principle will determine whether your good intentions are a temporary new leaf, you know, that are soon going to maybe lose its color and crumble, or whether it's a new life that will sustain you for years and decades to come. And you know, I'm going to begin by telling you about a man by the name of Chuck Negron. Now, that name may not seem familiar to some of you, but I bet his voice is. Because throughout the 70s, Chuck Negron was one-third of the rock group called Three Dog Night. And they were very successful as a rock band, really as successful as a rock band is capable of being. They had 11 top 10 hits, and they sold 50 million records. They had songs like Joy to the World, Mama Taught Me, Told Me Not to Come, an old-fashioned love song, and many, many others. Well, Chuck was rich. He was famous. I mean, he was on top of the world. He had everything, including, unfortunately, an addiction to heroin that he just couldn't shake. And during the course of his career, he made more than 100 attempts at rehabilitation, including 35 hospital stays, and yet he failed again and again. His addiction finally destroyed his career, and he hit rock bottom. Drugs took everything that he had. He even sold his gold records to buy cocaine. He wound up living on the floor of an East Los Angeles crack house. You know, it appeared that this once bright and shining star had lost everything. Well, he almost had anyway. He lost everything in the world except hope. You see, in spite of all of his failed attempts, in spite of the voice that kept telling him, you'll never change, you'll never beat this addiction, he tried one more time. He entered a program called Cry Help. And finally, after 20 years of failure, he won the battle. Now, during this time, he also gave his life to Jesus Christ. He's been clean for more than 20 years now. He's 80 years old. He still tours, still sings rock and roll. He also works with drug counseling and intervention programs. You know, Chuck's story, though, illustrates what this series and specifically this message is all about. After a lifetime of personal failure, after having lost it all, after most people had completely written him off and wanted really nothing more to do with him, he tried one more time, and this time it worked. I gotta say, one of the hardest things to do is to try again after you failed. I mean, even harder, though, to try again after you failed is to try after you failed a dozen times or more. And much harder still, after 100 failures, to get up and try one more time. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine about losing weight and getting into shape, and we discussed how that, you know, we'd both tried many times to lose weight, but, you know, we'd never really been able to stick to it. And then he said this to me. He said, the hardest part of getting back into shape is getting started. I know what I need to do, but I'm just so tired of failing. Every time I fail, I despise myself a little bit more. Now, can anybody relate? Maybe not so far as your weight is concerned, but in other areas of your life. I mean, do you know what it's like to fail and then fail again and then again and again and again? Do you know that feeling? You know, some people don't. They don't know what it's like to fail again and again because they fail once or maybe twice even, and then they quit trying. You know, they just say, what's the use? I'm always going to be this way. I tried controlling my temper, but you know what? People just wouldn't quit making me mad, so I gave up. I tried to make my marriage better, but you know, my spouse just wouldn't change, so what's the use? I tried getting serious about Christianity and a relationship with Christ, but my problems didn't go away from me, so why bother? Listen, many people, when they are confronted with failure, they just resign themselves to the idea that it will always be this way. But it doesn't have to always be this way. No matter how long it's been this way, it doesn't have to stay this way. You can turn a new page. You can begin a new chapter. You can start a new life. And you know, since today is January 1st, this is the greatest opportunity for each one of us to have a fresh start, to start again. And so today we're going to look at a story that took place in the early days of Jesus' ministry. Now, this is one of my favorite stories, mainly because I like to fish, and this is a story about fishing. But mostly, this story highlights one of the most powerful spiritual principles that you'll ever learn. If you will learn this, the lesson that this particular story teaches, the failures of yesterday will lose their grip on your life and will give way to the promise of tomorrow. Now, here's the story. A few professional fishermen, including a man by the name of Simon, had spent all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they'd come up with nothing. Now, listen, I can relate to these guys. There are times when you go fishing and you get skunked. I mean, nothing. You catch nothing. Sometimes you just have to call in a night, you give up, you go home, and you try it again another time. And you know what? That's what these guys did. And so they came into the shore, and seeing their boats docked there, Jesus asked to use the fisherman's boat for a while to teach the crowd that had come to hear him. And let's look at it. Let's begin at verse number 1 of Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now listen, what does this story teach us about beginning a new journey, about a fresh start, starting a new life? I want us to look at three things. First of all, in this story, Jesus tells us, number one, to go out into the deep. To go out into the deep. Listen, there are many people who think that you can always take the Bible literally, that everything in the Bible is literal. But I got to tell you, the Bible is also full of symbolism. And this is one of those metaphorical moments when Jesus said, "Go out into the deep." Now, I don't know what it was like for these professional fishermen, but I know that for many of us, at least metaphorically speaking, we prefer to fish close to the shore. You know, we try to risk as little as possible so that our failures will be as unnoticeable as possible. A pastor friend of mine told me recently about an opportunity that his church had to reach hundreds of people in their community through a special event, but the possibility of failure just haunted the leadership team. And they kept saying, "What if no one shows up? I mean, we'll have wasted all this money and we'll look foolish. You know what? Let's play it safe. Let's choose an outreach program that has a lesser downside, even if it also has a lesser upside." You know, in his frustration, this pastor said to his leadership team, "Listen, this is our greatest hindrance to growth. With every opportunity, we're afraid to go deep." Listen, what I'm saying is don't settle for life in the shallow water. Even if you have a history of failure, dare to go deep. Dare to hope for something bigger than you've ever experienced in your life. Like Chuck Negron, dare to dream that even after a lifetime of addiction and failure, you can finally become clean and sober. Dare to believe that you can start again. Here's what I'm saying. Today, we're starting a new year. Put the past behind you. Start again. God will give you a fresh start right here today. Even if you've worked at it all night and your nets have come up empty again and again and again, don't be afraid to go out into the deep. That's where Jesus is calling you. Don't be afraid to dream. Even now, after every failed attempt, don't be afraid to dream that your greatest success is just a few steps away. Jesus is saying to you, go out into the deep. He's also saying, though, secondly, to let down your net. Number two, let down your net. Now, we all know what Peter's response was. He says in verse number five here, "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." Now, what he didn't say, although I wonder if he was thinking it, what he didn't say was, "You know, this is not our first day on the job. No disrespect, Lord, but who's the fisherman here and who's the carpenter? I think we know what we're doing." Simon didn't say that. And I think he should be commended for not saying it because, you know, he did have a tendency to kind of blurt things out, right? I mean, had I been there, I probably would have I probably would have blurted myself because that's what I tend to do as well. But instead, Simon said exactly what he needed to say. Look at verse 5. He says, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Jesus is saying the same thing to you and me. He's saying, I want you to try again. Cast your nets one more time. Have you failed again and again and again and again till you're exhausted from trying and discouraged because you've got nothing to show for it? I understand, but don't give up. Cast your net again. Keep on casting. This is the most powerful spiritual principle you'll ever learn, and it's the power of casting again. It's the secret to success of any endeavor. Keep casting your net. Keep throwing out your line. If you don't catch anything over here, then cast your line over there. But don't stop casting out. You know, sports writer Bert Sugar, he was one time interviewing heavyweight boxing champion Floyd Patterson. And he mentioned that Floyd Patterson had been knocked down more than any other heavyweight champion in history. And Patterson's reply was this, yeah, but I also got up more than any other fighter in history. You see, that's what it means to cast your net again. It's you get up and you stay in the fight. You keep on trying. You see, Thomas Edison failed in creating the light bulb more than 2,000 times, but he never quit casting the net, and eventually he succeeded. Today, literally thousands of people have received help and encouragement in overcoming a powerful addiction to drugs, all because 20-something years ago, a washed-out and wasted Chuck Negron had the courage to cast his net one more time in the direction of recovery. You see, God can redeem a failure, but he can't do much with a quitter. It's only when you're willing to keep on casting your net that he is able to finally fill your life with abundance. You know, years ago, I heard Chuck Swindoll say this, failures who give up are a dime a dozen. Failures who get up are one in a million. And that's why you need to keep on casting your net into the water. You know, I'll never forget the time that Isaiah and I were kayak fishing on Creekcore Lake here locally. And we were fishing the shoreline, you know, like we always like to do. We like to kayak around and fish the shoreline. And we had done that for several hours, and we hadn't caught a thing. Well, I was getting tired. It was starting to get dark. And so I told Isaiah I was ready to pack it up and head on home. Well, we were on the other side of the lake from where our car was parked, and so we started across the lake toward the car. Well, I was out in the middle of the lake now at this point, and I thought I would give it one last try. I don't know why I decided, I might as well throw it out one more time. And I cast my line out into the deep water, and I started to bring my line back in when suddenly I hooked one of the biggest bass I'd ever caught. Now, I would have missed it, though, if I hadn't tried again and cast out into the deep water. You know, there's an interesting distinction in the Greek grammar that I want to point out here in this verse. Jesus said in verse number 4, now go out where it is deeper and let down or lower or cast your nets to catch some fish. Now, the verb translated let down here is actually plural. He's not saying give it one last shot. He's saying basically get back to work and keep at it. Cast the net out again and keep on casting it out. Peter responded in verse number 4 with, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now that phrase, I will let down, is also the present indicative active passage. And it refers to an ongoing action. In other words, he's saying, you know what, because you say so, I'll let down the nets and I'll keep on doing it and I'll keep on doing it. Now, I know what it's like to be in this situation. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to cast your net one more time. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to go to your spouse and say, I'm sorry, let's keep trying to make things right. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to say, you know what, I blew it again, but I'm making an effort to do it right one more time. I want to try one more time. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to say, God, I have fallen away again, and I'm miserable, and I need to get back in fellowship with you. I'm ready to try again. What makes it so difficult is that when you say these things, you hear in the back of your mind a voice of discouragement saying, you know, this time won't be any different than any other time. I mean, why don't you stop making a fool of yourself? Why don't you just admit defeat and give up? Listen, I've heard that voice, and I'm sure you have too. And the way to silence that voice forever is to look to Jesus and to say, Lord, because you say so, I'll be casting that net into the water again. I'll keep casting it as long as it takes. In fact, make that your New Year's resolution, not to give up, but to keep on trying. Now, there's one more thing I want you to see, number three, and that is that this new beginning is just the beginning. After these professional fishermen brought these two boatloads of fish to the shore, Simon fell at Jesus' feet, and he said in verse 8, "Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said to Simon Peter in verse 10, "Don't be afraid, from now on, you'll be fishing for people." Now, as a professional fisherman, Peter knew that what he just saw happen, that doesn't ever happen. I mean, it can happen, but it did happen. He knew that this wasn't just a matter of Jesus knowing where the fish were. He realized that he was in the presence of greatness, in the very presence of God. And so he fell at his feet. And Jesus said to him, in effect, "What you witnessed just now, that's nothing compared to what you're going to see in the days to come. You just caught a lot of fish and you made a lot of money. Wait till you see what happens down the line. You're going to change lives. You'll change nations. You will change history." He was saying to him, this is just the beginning. And this new beginning that you're being called to, I want you to know that it's just the beginning. God has great things in store for you, so much more than just a full net. That's where the blessing begins, with a full net, but that's not where it ends. You know, more than 20 years ago, Chuck Negron just wanted to get some control of his life. He just wanted to get clean, to get off of crack, to get off of heroin, to get out of his miserable situation. That's what he hoped to find in his net when he cast it out for the 101st time. And it finally happened. It worked. He got clean. He got sober. He got his life back and so much more. He found peace and he found purpose in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He got his career back. He's 80 years old, still singing Joy to the World. You know, he got a home to live in, and he built some financial security for himself. And most of all, he became a fisher of men. The new beginning in Chuck Negron's life was just the beginning. God had done great things through him, and that's how it will be for you. You know, in closing, let me just say, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I know that many people are discouraged about one area of their life, maybe even discouraged about every area of their life. Many maybe are thinking, you know, I've cast that net as many times as I can possibly cast that net. I don't have it in me to cast that net again. Listen, I'm talking to you today. Jesus is nearby. He's right where you're sitting at this moment. You are within the sound of his voice, and he's calling out to you. He knows that you've been discouraged. He knows that you're just about ready to give up on your job or on your marriage, on your family, on yourself. And so he's calling out to you today, right now. And he's saying, don't settle for less. Don't stay here in the shallow end. Move out into the deep. Dare to dream. Dare to hope. Dare to believe and dare to cast your net yet again. Ignore the voice that's saying things are always going to be the way that they are today. Ignore the voice that's saying that you might as well just give up and go away. Ignore the voice and cast your net out into the deep once again, because there is something out there for you. More blessing than you have room to hold. There's something out there, a new beginning that's just the beginning of all that I have planned for your life. This is where your journey to a new life begins. Go out into the deep, cast your net, and cast your net again, and cast your net again. Keep on casting until God fills it to overflowing. You know, today, maybe you've never opened your heart or life to receive Jesus Christ. I want you to know the greatest fresh start that ever happens in our life is when we say, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. We ask him, allow him to come in and forgive us of our sins. Allow him to give us a fresh start. He does it whenever we open our heart and lives to him. And so right now, if you've never done that and you would like to do that, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. Loving me so much that you went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price for my sins. Today, I receive that forgiveness. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to begin a relationship with you right here, right now. I want a fresh start today, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you in the comment section, just say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer because I want to celebrate with you. I want to rejoice that you're starting. You got a fresh start today, a brand new start. The best way to start this year. And so as we close in prayer today, let's ask that God would help all of us to have that new, fresh start, that we would not dwell on the past, but we would move forward and keep on casting and dreaming big, knowing that God has incredible blessings for 2023 in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your love again and your mercy towards us. Lord, I thank you today on this very first day of this new year, that Lord, it's your desire that every one of us have a fresh start. That Lord, we not worry about what happened last year or yesterday, but that we focus on what you've got for us in the future. That right here, right now, we declare we're not gonna give up. We're gonna launch into the deep because Lord, you're calling us to dream big and to accomplish great things. And so Lord, it's not by our power, our might, but it's by your spirit that this will happen. So Lord, help us to go out into the deep, to trust you and to keep casting that net, to keep casting. Keep throwing out the line because, Lord, you're going to bring out incredible blessings into our lives. So that we're believing you for 2023 to be the greatest year of all of our lives, the greatest year of Calvary Temple, the greatest year in our world where people are coming to you and their lives are being blessed. We're believing you and trusting you for great things. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great new year. Thank you.